News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning, y'all. Dan and Dalton, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5. Text line alive and well, just trying to sort out the psychopaths on staff here at FM Talk 106.5.
You opened a can with that.
I'd certainly. Sometimes it just kind of happens that way. So we'll get back to some of those texts. Of course, your phone calls will be welcome later on this hour. Right now, we've got the chief nursing officer as USA Health Systems, and that would be Natalie Fox on the line to talk to us about all things COVID numbers, vaccinations, and I guess some pediatric cases over the weekend. Natalie, where do we want to start this morning?
Yeah, so I think I'll just kind of talk about what we've seen over the past week and specifically what we saw yesterday. So, you know, at the end of last week, we hit several new records. So we had 800 new positives in one day in Mobile County. Last week, we had a record high of over 350 people hospitalized in our county at one time due to COVID. Still waiting on the data to come in, but it's estimated that we're also going to have a record high of the number of people in our community that died from COVID in 1 week. We're probably going to hit that record, and it's all just so unfortunate because, you know, over 90% of those hospitalized are unvaccinated. But I really want to talk about a record high that we had within our own health system at our Children's and Women's Hospital. Yesterday morning, I was informed that we had six pediatric COVID-positive patients in our pediatric intensive care unit on a ventilator. And you know, Dan and Dalton, that's just unprecedented. We haven't had a total of six COVID pediatric positive patients on a ventilator this whole time if we added it all up. So again, we are seeing younger people and we're seeing them sicker and quicker. I can't emphasize vaccination enough because of this in our community. You know, vaccine numbers are going up. We, as USA Health, we vaccinated around 1,200 people last week with their first shot. But, you know, to put that in perspective, we had hit a really low in June when we were only vaccinated around 300 to 400 a week. But in the spring, we were vaccinating around 5,000 to 7,000 people each week. So I still need those vaccine numbers. We all still need those vaccine numbers to continue to rise. Testing. We're definitely, you know, testing around 250 people a day just at our site. There's plenty of testing going on at all the urgent cares, emergency rooms. Mobile County Health Department opened a new location for both vaccine and testing in Bel Air Mall. And, you know, and that's because of the way this Delta variant spreads. And so there's something that's called the R-naught, which is how many people an infected person is likely to give the virus to. And it's the Alpha variant. That was the most common variant we were seeing before. One infected person was usually infected about two others. With this Delta, we're seeing one infected person infect at least 5 to 8, maybe even higher. So again, these are unprecedented times, and it's really affecting our pediatric patients.
Natalie, you mentioned the six children that were intubated yesterday. Why do you think at the beginning of this pandemic, children were so unaffected by the virus? Why is it happening now? Why are there so many under 18 that are being hospitalized? And what age range would you break it down to within that 0 to 18? That's such a large span. Is it mostly older teenagers in general, or are you seeing lots of kids under 12 being hospitalized?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the board. Of course, we're seeing probably the most in under 12 because they're not vaccinated. We also see a lot in the under one age group, and that's not surprising because typical viruses like RSV or respiratory syncytial virus and flu tend to affect those under one just with the need for breathing support, and we're kind of seeing the same thing. We are seeing teenagers, though, hospitalized where we normally don't with a lot of other viruses. And so I think the latest thing I heard from the health department overall on the age statistics was that compromised around, out of all of our hospitalizations, it's about 5 to 10% are under 12. So again, you know, we are, and under 12 can't get vaccinated, over 12 can, but we've had very low uptake in those over 12 getting vaccinated in our community.
So what's different now than a year ago when children weren't being affected?
Yeah, so I think with the Delta variant, it spreads a lot more, kind of just like that R-naught value that I just went over about how many more people you are likely to infect. I think that we saw we are seeing higher viral loads. I kind of talked about on air with y'all before how much more virus is present in those secretions to really go out. And otherwise, I don't really know. I can just tell you that we are seeing so many more pediatric patients affected. Even at our own testing site, you know, we have been testing since the pandemic began in March 2020. And those under 17 typically only represented less than 10% of the total people we tested each day. In the past couple of weeks, those under 17 are representing around 35 to 40% of those that we're testing. And just like our county statistics, about one in three people that we are testing are positive.
Wow. So the numbers again from the weekend, the pediatric numbers in the hospital, repeat that one more time.
Yeah, and so this is just in our pediatric intensive care unit, which provides the highest level of care. And we had six pediatric positive COVID patients that were on a ventilator, meaning that they needed complete breathing support for them. And that's just unprecedented and really just has not happened yet in this pandemic. And so, again, you know, there was a lot of other things that we were doing a lot last year, too, Dalton, to kind of answer your questions related to masking. One thing that our hospital saw, typically during the winter months, we take care of a lot of patients that have flu and RSV that also need support, you know, breathing and need extra fluids. And we didn't really see that much last year. And it was because of masks. So masks really do work. So masking and vaccination.
When you look at the COVID deaths and hospitalizations throughout the state over the last couple of weeks, there's Mobile County and then there's everyone else. 24 deaths over the last week in Mobile County, and no other county in the state has had more than 10 in August. What do you think the reasoning behind that is? Why is Mobile being hit so much harder than the rest of the state?
Well, you know, we had low vaccination rates. I don't know that we had that much. You know, we had lower rates around the rest of the county, too. I mean, around the rest of the state as well. But it's just spreading here like wildfire. And I think you can tell from us hitting that precedent at 800 new positive infections. I think that was from last Thursday. So, again, definitely spreading here like wildfire, and that's why we're seeing those hospitalizations.
What is USA doing to convince those that are afraid of or concerned about the vaccine?
We're just trying to dispel myths and really get the information out there. There's a lot of concerns about the vaccine can cause infertility. There is no data that supports that. There is no data that any vaccine, not just this COVID vaccine, that any vaccine would cause infertility. We have no scientific reason to think that, and we have no data that supports that. You know, people think if they've had COVID, they don't have to have the vaccine. Again, not true. The natural immunity that you may have had from getting the other strand, we are seeing that that does not provide the same immunity that you get that possibly covers you know, to decrease your likelihood to get severe ill from this new strand like Delta. The other one, you know, there was a lot of concern on the pediatric end, not only on fertility, but that the risk of the vaccine may affect a pediatric patient's heart, so somebody over 12's heart. But the data on that shows that if a patient, a pediatric adolescent gets COVID, they have around a 7% chance to get something called myocarditis, which is basically inflammation of the heart muscle. There was a concern of some cases of myocarditis in those vaccinated, but that was 1.8 cases per 100,000 people that got the vaccine. So I don't have a calculator in front of me, but I can tell you that that's a lot lower percentage chance than 7%. It's probably a 0.00%.
We're talking with Natalie Fox, Chief Nursing Officer with USA Health. Natalie, we talked to a lot of people in our setting here on the radio, a lot of people that are unvaccinated, lots of distrust between some of our listeners and the federal government. You speak to a lot of people, but in a different setting, and obviously many times a much more dangerous setting because they're coming in to see you sick a lot of the time. What's been the main reasoning when you speak with people who've come in who are sick? What's been their main reasoning for not getting vaccinated, or have you heard that from many people?
Yeah, and I don't think that there's one main reason. I think that overall, if we lump it together, it's a lot of misinformation or didn't think it would happen to me. I just want to encourage everybody to talk to your healthcare provider. That's usually who you trust, is your provider that provides you care, your child's pediatrician, your, you know, doctor that you go to when you're sick. Ask them. Some people think if they are on certain medications or they have a certain disease process. Again, don't get your information from the internet. Get it from your healthcare provider that's been providing you care all along, and talk to them about those concerns instead of talking, you know, again, with getting misinformation or information from the internet.
What was the information you had about healthcare workers getting vaccinated? Was that a statewide?
So, a story about the statewide vaccination rates for hospital staffs, Natalie, and this is from AL.com, where Dr. Donald Williamson with the AHA said he thinks that right around 50 to 60% of hospital staffs are vaccinated. We had a texter who knows the industry well. And he said he has several family members that work at area hospitals, one in medical school. He believes most doctors and nurses are vaccinated, but it's the support staff at these hospitals that aren't. What's kind of been your view of that, of actual hospital staff and vaccinations in our area?
Yeah, and so what I can tell you on that is a lot of that, what you said, kind of holds true. One being that, you know, over 90% of healthcare providers, so those are physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, over 90% of that group is vaccinated, highly vaccinated group. We do see that drop when we get to nursing, and nursing is a predominantly female field, a lot of younger people in nursing. And again, what we are seeing there is the concerns about infertility. And so we're trying to, you know, really talk a lot about that and make sure that each person is able to make an informed choice, because again, there is no information that this vaccine can cause problems with infertility. And if you are currently pregnant, the American College of Gynecology and Obstetrics has came out really strong and said that even being pregnant, you really should get this vaccine, because pregnant women seem to be severely affected from COVID. And it's similar to what we see with flu. Pregnant women are usually more severely affected by flu, and so flu vaccines are highly recommended for those pregnant. And I agree that we are seeing the support staff, kind of the ancillary support, also reluctant to get the vaccine. But, 60% is kind of what's holding strong across the state and locally in our healthcare system.
Yeah, I went quite a few years without getting the flu vaccine. And then my wife got pregnant with our first child. And she said, if I did not get the flu vaccine, I'd be stabbed with something else. So that made the option very easy for me.
You want to be jabbed or stabbed, right?
Right. A couple texts coming in on the text line, Natalie. Paul wants to know, why does Natalie think the FDA has not given full approval to the vaccines yet? I know yesterday Fauci was on several shows. He said it could be coming soon. But what's been that process? Why has that been so delayed?
You know, I don't really know that it's been delayed as much as it's, this can usually take years. So I think we're going to be a little faster, but it doesn't mean that it's not going through any of the same regulations. Again, just gathering that data. And I really hope, just like Dr. Fauci, that that's going to be coming soon in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. I hope that that will help a lot of people have confidence in the vaccine. I also hope that knowing that over 90% of your healthcare providers around the United States have taken the vaccine should tell you something, too.
And another question here for you. How are they testing for Delta? So let's just take it from the beginning when someone walks into a place that's doing testing and they get tested. From where do they find out that it's a Delta variant?
Yeah, so the testing roughly is still the same. You know, you can get rapid tests, you can get a traditional PCR test, which, you know, actually goes into a machine and actually looks for the different variations. The way that we know it's Delta is from something else called next generation sequencing that kind of really looks at the nuts and bolts of what's making up the virus. And not everybody that gets tested gets sequenced, but what we're seeing is that all the specimens that were being sequenced were coming back almost exclusively the Delta variant for the last, you know, several weeks. I think Birmingham has been reporting on that out of their lab, a lab here locally, Synergy Labs. They've been sequencing a lot of positive samples. And so, again, that's kind of where we're seeing the Delta variant is with the sequencing. The other testing modalities still pick up positive COVID just like they did before.
Natalie, thanks for your time again this morning. And I think we will have no choice but to kind of gather again next Monday and see where we are with all this, okay?
Yeah, and so everybody come get vaccinated. You know, we're back at the arena at Mobile Civic Center with USA Health. As I mentioned, Mobile County Health Department has several locations, including one in the mall. Local Walgreens, every urgent cares, please seek vaccination and wear a mask.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
Natalie Fox, Chief Nursing Officer with USA Health. And we'll take your calls coming up in this next segment, 343-0106. Would a full FDA approval of the vaccine change your mind if you're unvaccinated? Let us know.
More on who is on the FM Talk 106.5. lineup that is a psychopath. We'll get to around to some of your checks where you're breaking it down for us, and we appreciate that. This is something we need to know. Yeah. Wouldn't you want to know if I was a psychopath?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not sure I want to know if I'm a psychopath.
Tony's in Daphne right now, and he's on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great, thank you.
Doing well, Tony. What do you got for us this morning?
Well, I'm one of the unvaccinated, and my wife was one of the unvaccinated. The reason we were unvaccinated is we were scared because of what we had heard about the vaccination, you know, causing heart problems and this and that. So we were both scared. But now that my wife has, you know, we both got the Delta variant, and she's been in the hospital for 3 weeks, and she's in very bad shape.
Wow.
And my sister just got diagnosed last night with pneumonia from COVID, and she's also unvaccinated. Now we're all going to get vaccinated when we can. Now, I mean, this is just a scary situation, but yeah, I would encourage anybody out there that if you get sick and you have these COVID symptoms, to go get an oxygen saturation meter from your local CVS. Keep an eye on your heart rate. Keep an eye on your O2 saturation, because those are the telltale signs.
Tony, I'm so sorry to hear that about your family. A couple questions for you. First, did you guys get sick at all over this last year, or is this the first time that you've had COVID?
No, it hit us all at once.
The Delta variant, yeah.
Sick.
Okay. And secondly, age range. What age range are you in, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. My wife is 39. Mm. I am 47.
Okay.
Relatively young for all that.
Tony, so sorry to hear that. And we're praying for your family here at FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, get well, and thank you for the call, Tony. And get vaccinated if you feel like that's what you need to do right now. There's ample opportunity out there.
Yeah, and like I said before, it just for everybody to please keep an eye out on your heart rate and your oxygen. If your oxygen starts to drop and your heart rate starts to go up, it means your heart is trying to compensate for your lungs.
Hmm.
Get your butt to a hospital. Go to an urgent care. Get a chest X-ray. I mean, you don't know that you have pneumonia, but you might.
Thank you, Tony.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Tony from Daphne, and terrible stuff there. That seems to be, you know, the one thing I've noticed talking to people who had been hospitalized and gotten out of it over this last year and a half, they think they're, you know, things are going along fine, and then it just hits at some point where you're just having trouble really breathing. Yeah, everyone knows what it's like to have a little trouble breathing, but I think once it really hits, then you know.
Well, that's good. Even for those who so many do recover, boy, what a frightening episode in their life they go through with some of this. Not everybody, but there's a story right there. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. It's the start of another great week, and I want to talk a little bit about the inventory at McConnell.
That's right. I want to thank everybody for coming in Saturday, man. We got some great trades. Even traded in a 21 Denali Yukon black on black. I'm sitting here looking at it. Gorgeous.
Mm.
We got an 18 Toyota Land Cruiser. Those are hot. 45,000 miles, white on tan. Like I said, want to thank everybody for coming in Saturday. Those pictures will be up on the website here shortly. Gene be working on those. Also, we're looking for some great tech in our body shop and in our mechanical end of it. So the McConnells are great to work for. We've been in business since 1955. Would love to come by and see if y'all could come by and go to work with me.
So
we're going to be here today, and you could call 251-476-4141. Like I said, we're looking for anybody for the body shop and the mechanical shop.
So they need to call, or can they just drop on by if they're interested?
They can drop by. They can call, talk to Thomas or Charles Prim. Mm-hmm. Like I said, 251-476-4141. for the body shop and for the mechanical end of it.
All right. Thanks for your time this morning, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and let's see.
We've got a lot to get to here.
Yeah, you want to go text line, or what do you want to do?
Well, let me lead off with this. Over the last, well, how long has the vaccine been available? I was at Spring Hill Hospital as my wife was having our second child, Peyton, who I've now nicknamed FOMO because she can't stand missing out on things. And she loses it if she feels like she's missing something. So we were in the hospital in late December, and I think the vaccine had just become available, and they were working through the different stages. You know, was it elderly first and nurses and hospital staff? I can't remember the exact process.
I think you're close to that. Certainly, they wanted to get people who were the elderly who were in the nursing home situation.
Nursing homes was very important.
That was first. Yeah.
So we were in the maternity ward, and already at that point, a number of the nurses had been vaccinated. Even a very pregnant nurse at the time had gone ahead and gotten vaccinated. And so I guess it's been, 7 months, 6 months really that the vaccines have been available. And over that time, a lot, you know, as we've tried to figure out why some people get vaccinated, why some don't, a lot of the answer for some of the folks who've been unvaccinated are it hasn't received full FDA approval.
Right.
That it's used under emergency usage, and that since the FDA allowed those vaccines to be distributed, they have yet to give it full approval. Well, yesterday, Fauci was on a number of different shows, and he said that by the end of August, he thinks the Food and Drug Administration will give full approval to the vaccines. And what exactly that means, I mean, you're still not liable. The drug industry is still not liable for what their vaccines do or don't do. But I've argued in the past that that's almost a necessity. And now, these drug companies have had their pantsuit off of them several times, whether it was for the opioid epidemic or you think of J&J and the baby powder. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been one thing after another that they've been sued for, whether it's false advertising or what have you. But if they were held liable, and wasn't it Reagan who removed that liability? I think it may have been. If someone knows the real answer, text it to me. I'm just kind of going off the top of the head here. But if those companies were liable to be sued, we've already seen that, you know, there have been a number of cases where people who have been vaccinated have died. Now, whether you can link those two together the way that they were linking a positive coronavirus test with the death.
Well,
you know,
the most famous Henry Aaron.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Like a week later after the vaccination.
So there would already be, you know, thousands and thousands of lawsuits, and it would be really holding up this whole vaccine thing. And is it that cut and dry? Are some of you people who have been waiting and who have texted on the text line and said, the reason I haven't gotten the vaccine yet is the FDA hasn't given it full approval? Once they do, will that change your mind? Will you go out and get vaccinated just because the FDA? We've gotten some texts here, and Dan, let's go to his first. It says, why would a federal bureaucracy's stamp of approval or the fact that highly indoctrinated medical community is 90% vaccinated make someone who trusts their natural immunity, believes in personal accountability, and doesn't get the flu shot all of a sudden make that person decide, oh, you know what? I'm going to get that vaccine. That's a great question. I'm not sure how many people that kept saying, why hasn't the FDA given full approval, ever plan to get vaccinated. I think that was just one of the excuses that just kept coming up.
And, you know, who was our caller before the break there? Was it Michael?
We had Tony from Daphne.
So Tony's phone call, it could take a call like that, or it could take your own personal experience of having someone in your family get really sick, mm-hmm. or you get really sick. I mean, I think that's probably for a lot of people, it's going to take that.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen that way. But when you're talking about what is, he was a great example. Live on the radio, he was like saying, we had our concerns about the vaccine. We were concerned about it from a medical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried to be safe. And yet now, my wife is very sick, COVID plus pneumonia.
Yeah.
Same with his sister-in-law. So here you have a guy who became an advocate for the vaccine overnight.
And he's not 90 years old.
No.
He said his wife's
39.
She's 39.
Yeah.
And he's 47.
Right.
A couple more texts to get here. Polcat said, we don't know the side effects, but go ahead and get vaccinated. It may work it may not work. So what's that timeline? When will people feel confident enough? Because that's been, even though I'm half vaxxed, that honestly has been the holdup for me and was very early on. And I've been very open about my entire thought process through this entire time. Very early on, I'm thinking, okay, I try to do everything based on risk reward, right? And that doesn't always happen. I'm a very spur of the moment guy, but that's how I got vaccinated.
I almost fell out of my chair, but go ahead.
So I was thinking, you know, early on, we don't know a whole lot about this vaccine. I mean, they've had these trials that they rushed through, admittedly rushed through, and then they made it available as quick as possible. I said, I was thinking, yes, the elderly, the immunocompromised, the 500, 600-pound people out there probably need to get vaccinated because that's who we're seeing hospitalized and dying. And for everyone at the time under, you know, 55 and in good health, I was thinking, what's the big deal? Why go get vaccinated now? But I, spur of the moment, went ahead and got vaccinated after, I'm sure, some call like Tony and Daphne that called in. Probably, I was like, yeah, I need to go ahead and probably get this done. I would say I'm now, after having this out for 7 months and having these trials way over a year old, I'm getting more and more comfortable with the fact that I'm vaccinated and almost fully vaccinated.
Even though you got pretty sick for about 24 hours.
I did get sick right afterwards. But what's that timeline for some of you out there? How long are you willing to hold off before you go, yeah, looks like it might be an all right thing to get?
Joel is in Summerdale. We've got about a minute. Joel, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I've got my vaccination, Dalton. The second one, I was real hesitant to get it. It's taken a year and a half. So, but what I wanted to know, and I know you're not going to have this right offhand, but the hospitalizations they're talking about is ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the people that are in hospitals are illegal aliens? Have they even said, or does anybody have a number?
You know, I don't.
People that are in hospitals that are illegal aliens?
I have not seen that number anywhere.
Thank
nationwide.
You, Tony. No, I mean, and I would think locally we're not looking at a bunch of illegal aliens, are we?
Not a bunch, but I don't know if there are any out there. I mean, they have been taking illegal aliens from the border and putting them in cages.
Mm-hmm.
Not really cages, but kind of. I mean, that's what the Democrats were calling it while Trump was in office, and then shipping them to different parts of the United States. DeSantis claims that a majority of them are on their way to Florida.
Right.
Or have been on their way to
Right.
Florida. So it's
Right.
very possible, but I haven't seen that breakdown. And really, the administration is almost ignoring it, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's insane to not just me, but to nearly anybody or everybody. It doesn't look like it's a trumped-up story. It looks like it's a real story, and the COVID on top of it. It blows your mind.
Yeah, and not only that, over the weekend on CNN, one of their anchors said the Republicans are just capitalizing on the border situation. She said they need to stop capitalizing on it, that it's like inhumane to blame the immigrants that are coming across the border with COVID. I don't think anyone's blaming the immigrants coming across the border.
No.
It's the people that should be stopping them
policies,
and turning them around and testing them and vaccinating them. That's who the Republicans are going after. But,
Amen.
You know, CNN's going to CNN, I guess.
Well, also on the text line, maybe we'll revisit this tomorrow. Who on our staff is a psychopath? Some very interesting texts about that. Some of them are not very flattering to me or other members of our staff.
Also, we have some voicemails to get to. Also, coming up, we have Brian Comer in studio with Tobias McCormick and Comer. Can't wait to see what we're going to discuss once Brian gets in here. Welcome back to Mobile Mornings, and a pleasure to welcome back into studio Brian Comer with Tobias McCormick and Comer Law Firm. And Brian, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me back, Dalton. Good to be here.
So during the break, you brought up something that, it hits home to me because back in my home of Grove Hill, it seemed like at some point over the last 15 years, everybody went out and got a golf cart and have been driving it around town. And you see that in a lot of places here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And souped up golf carts, street legal golf carts, they've got kind of everything for you now. And you've seen some of these cases where some of these accidents on golf carts have been pretty brutal.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I mean, I grew up in Satsuma, and you can go and sit in my parents' driveway on a afternoon after school or even on the weekend, and you can see, you know, 15 or 20 in an hour, and it's usually kids driving them on the street, whether it's, you know, an actual golf cart that should be used at a golf course or, like you mentioned, the street legal golf carts are something that are more popular, and you see some that are jacked up, you know, used at the hunting camp or something like that. But yeah, they're prevalent.
So what are some of the, I know you've seen some accidents in your work, some of the cases you've worked. What are some of the most likely accidents you'll see with people on golf carts?
Yeah, so typically people on golf carts forget that the rules of the road apply. And so if you're operating a motorized vehicle on the road, then, you know, you've got to obey stop signs and you've got to obey rights of way and, you know, that sort of thing. You've got to signal, you know, before you turn and that sort of thing. And typically, unfortunately, you have younger, inexperienced drivers who are driving. And if they aren't paying attention or if they're texting or talking with friends, they may not be paying attention and then can get in a wreck. And unfortunately, you know, we see this a lot with motorcycle wrecks too, but cars have side curtain airbags and seat belts and all this stuff, a door between you and the outside. And so those things typically aren't on the golf carts. And unfortunately, when a collision happens, it's typically, even at a low speed, can have really substantial consequences.
You have this really interesting chart on the Tobias McCormick and Comer site. I'll get to you here in just a second. But you mentioned some of the younger kids, and with them and even teenagers when they're on these carts, a lot of times on the road with law-abiding drivers, they'll be, you know, standing up in the back. Right. So it's already a dangerous situation. But then you add that youthful inexperience into the mix, and it can get really, really dangerous.
It certainly can. And, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, kids, they, you know, I remember being a lot younger and thinking I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof too. And you don't think that, you know, there can be bad decisions, but, you know, the thing is too, it isn't necessarily even the bad decision on the driver or the operator of the golf cart. You know, we've had situations where cars aren't paying attention. Same deal. They're looking at their phones or they're just distracted for whatever reason. And before you know it, they're on top of a golf cart. They cross the center line. And that's, those are the types of cases that we've seen more of is the drivers, much like with motorcycles, not looking out for these cars on the road. And you couple that with someone who may not have the experience and can't take the evasive maneuvers necessary, and that can be a recipe for disaster.
I imagine a lot of those car drivers, truck drivers, don't realize how legal some of these carts are, especially they are legal under on these roads that are under 25 mile an hour limits, but you have to have all the right things on those carts. I mentioned that chart that you have at tmclawyers.com where you're talking about these golf carts and the equivalency of accidents in them. So if you're going 10 miles an hour and you get an accident, that's equivalent to falling about 3 1/3 feet. Okay. That's not that far off the ground, but could hurt. A 15 mile per hour impact, 7 1/2 foot fall. If you're going 20 miles an hour and you get into an accident, that's equivalent to a 13 1/2 foot fall. And then 25 miles an hour could be like falling 20 feet. And I've seen a lot of news stories where 20 foot fall is enough to seriously injure or sometimes even kill people.
Well, you're spot on. And in fact, people don't appreciate just how a fall from what might seem like not a high amount, like 7 1/2 feet.
Yeah.
People can die from a fall from 7 1/2 feet. And so that's what I was saying in terms of the safety equipment that are found in cars and trucks, we don't see in golf carts. And so people need to be extra careful, whether you're driving a car or whether, you know, you or one of your children are operating a golf cart, even the street legal ones. You know, for those same reasons, they have to be extra careful. And, you know, you need to make sure that you explain to your children before they get behind the wheel that the rules apply and what the rules are, just like when you're driving a car.
Exactly. So you and I both had experience seeing these carts out there. I'm sure plenty of people listening right now have as well. And some of them have even been in an accident on either side
of the story. Maybe they were legally driving a street legal golf cart and someone hit them. They were the other person was being unsafe. Or maybe it's the other side of the coin where you were driving your standard car or truck the legal way and someone in an unsafe way harmed you in their car. Both of those sides of the equation can contact TMC lawyers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we do this all the time. I mean, people, you know, I didn't come from a family of lawyers. I had no experience before, you know, I went to law school. And we're happy to evaluate. There's never any kind of a fee. It's a free consultation. But to come in, and if you think that, you know, you have been injured by somebody else, again, whether you're driving the golf cart or whether you're driving the vehicle, but it was because of somebody else did something wrong, mm-hmm. then we're happy to take a look at that. And there is a lot that goes into an investigation from our standpoint. You know, not only do you want to go find the witnesses and talk to those people, but also you want to collect the forensic evidence that's there. Were there tire marks? Were somebody slammed on the brakes? Were there, is there evidence that needs to be preserved? Things that need to happen in short order so that we can properly evaluate the case and let you know, okay, is this something that's worth pursuing in terms of, is there a valid claim or not? Mm-hmm. And all of that goes into the equation, and all of that's part of the free consultation that we provide.
That's great. And the proof is in the pudding. The proof is on your website, tmclawyers.com, where you have a lot of this information listed in a lot of the cases that you've won for your clients. Remind people where you're located. You guys are local, you know, Mobilians, South Alabamians at heart, and you're experienced as well.
That's right. So we're at 1203 Dolphin Street, Dolphin, right next to the Alabama School of Math and Science at Dolphin and Ann. And our website, tmclawyers.com. You can also reach us at 251-432-5001. But yeah, we have combined, I think it's over 65 years of experience mm-hmm. right here in Mobile, representing people here in Mobile.
Well, Brian, again, thank you so much for coming in today and really enjoyed our talk.
Thanks, Dalton. I always appreciate it.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.